This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Peter Sepp, Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayers organization in the country. Late this week, we learned that the Senate Democrats will not be taking up plans to extend some, but not all, of the Bush-era tax cuts, meaning that vote will wait until after the midterm elections, if it happens at all, in the current Congress. And Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, first of all, this is not exactly a huge surprise. We know there's a lot of different things that will likely wait until the lame duck session. Some had believed that this might come up for a vote since the Democrats thought they could perhaps win some middle-class votes by planning to pursue those tax cuts for a number of years while allowing the tax cuts for the wealthy to expire. What is the message being sent to taxpayers by the fact that this will not be taken up for at least another month?
I guess the message is hurry up and wait, voters. And that's not a message people need to hear right now. Whether or not there's an election, there's also an economy at stake here, an economic recovery that is very, very weak. And the uncertainty this will create, not only among consumers, but especially among businesses, is something that could do some very serious damage in the coming months in terms of job creation, consumer spending, even economic growth overall.
Even if this were to be passed in a lame duck session or perhaps even in a retroactive fashion in the new Congress, what would be the halting impact on the economy of not doing it now?
Well, there are a number of things. For one, not only are individual income tax rates at stake here, there are also taxes on capital gains and dividends that could go up. There is the fact that there's an alternative minimum tax out there that could threaten millions of Americans with a new parallel tax system that many of them have never come to grips with before. That's unless Congress enacts a patch, something that protects these millions of Americans from having to file and pay the alternative minimum tax. There are corporate tax incentives, too, on the line. And a lot of businesses right now are making their expansion plans for next year, drafting their financial outlines and their advertising and other strategic considerations. And they're being put on hold because they don't know how much overhead they're going to have to face because of taxes. And, of course, there are administrative considerations here. The longer Congress waits into this year, be it November or December, the harder time the IRS is going to have in doing things like notifying employers of what withholding tables should look like next year. And the alternative minimum tax is the same way. These tax forms have to be designed now and printed now in order to be available on January 1st of next year. Well, the IRS is going to be put on hold until Congress decides what it's going to do about the AMT and a few other issues.
Well, let's follow up on that very last point there, Pete, because we've obviously heard a lot about the competing priorities when it comes to what to do with the expiring income tax cuts. But other than some efforts by House Democrats to bring back the estate tax, although not full freight, we've heard almost nothing about dividend taxes and capital gains rates, as unless it pertains specifically to small businesses. So what's the plan there? Has either party explained what they really want to do?
Well, the Republicans have said they believe that all the tax cuts, including the income tax rate reductions for everyone, not just middle class and working class Americans, but also the death tax currently at zero that should be extended and kept at zero. They believe that the dividend and capital gains taxes should be kept at their current rates. The maximum rates there are 15%. Well, the thing is, the Democrats have said we want to have some of these renewed, but not all. The Republicans don't seem willing to push very hard on the subject right now. I imagine that this is becoming more of a political issue than an economic issue, and that's a shame because, again, as we were discussing earlier, there's a lot riding on this, and the uncertainty is only compounded by things like this constant drumbeat for new energy tax proposals. That seems to be the big funding mechanism for many Democratic pieces of legislation. We want to raise spending or cut taxes someplace. We just raise taxes on the oil and gas industry. That's creating uncertainty as well.
Pete, you and I have talked about this before. In fact, we talked about it as we summed up the economy for the previous decade at the end of 2009. And you made the point that actually when it comes to the economic growth that we saw from 2003 to 2007, which seems like ancient history given where the economy is now, but that it was really the capital gains cuts and the dividend tax cuts that really triggered that more so than the income tax cut. So as we try to dig out of this economic hole, what impact would not extending those have?
It would have a terrible impact, and it would show up far more quickly, I think, than most people realize. The fact that investors would perceive that rates are going up in the year 2011, that they would say, well, I had better take my gains now and lock in the lower tax rate on those dividends and capital gains before Congress decides to tinker with them or simply let them rise. And what you might see is a massive sell-off in the month of December that could trigger all kinds of negative problems throughout not only the stock market, but the housing market and the consumer spending and retail markets.
We're talking with Peter Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, obviously, a lot of what we're hearing, especially from the insurgent political candidates this year, is attacking the deficits, attacking what they consider runaway government spending. We don't hear as much about the taxes, although obviously this debate is emerging now for what to do with the Bush tax cuts. What are you hearing from your members? How do they prioritize what they want to see economically out of a new Congress?
Well, our members are concerned not only about rising tax rates, but also rising borrowing and the associated interest costs, as well as looming entitlement liabilities. What they're saying is we need a program that emphasizes a growing economy that will produce a stable flow of revenues to a government that learns to spend less, spend within its means. And that's going to add up to some serious commitments to spending reduction, not just holding the line on future growth, but actually turning back the clock a bit to perhaps 2008 levels of spending when there wasn't the burden of the Bush-era bailout like the TARP legislation or the Obama-era stimulus bill.
Last question for you, Pete, before we let you go. We've talked to a couple different Republican members of Congress who say that, obviously, as you mentioned before, they want to extend or make permanent all of the Bush tax cuts. But they actually said they're so committed to making all of them permanent that they would rather see none of them than only some of them in terms of the income tax cuts extended. Good strategy or not?
Well, all or nothing, of course, is one way to play it. I think that there are many people who would say we need to get something, some kind of indication here on the part of both political parties of what will be renewed. I think that they all ought to be renewed. In fact, a letter we sponsored just this week from 313 economists, including a Nobel laureate, is saying extend them all. Whether the strategy of wait for the best possible deal turns out to be good for our economy, that's anyone's guess.
Well, we'll keep watching as we always do. I know you will too. Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Peter Sepp, Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.